Guys, this is Julie and this is Semi-Balanced. I come with you with a special guest today. Her name is Pritam Tara, and she is a eating disorder recovery coach, a holistic health and spiritual life coach. She deals with psychedelics for transformation. I'm going to go ahead and introduce her and turn the floor over to her. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks for having me today.
You're very welcome. We were speaking briefly before I started this, and I was just so intrigued with, I didn't know what an ED coach was, but eating disorder. And I know for a fact that I do have listeners that are struggling with eating disorder. And I have had it, as I was telling you, I had an eating disorder in my past. So go ahead, touch on whatever you want, wherever you want to start. I brought you on to tell your story, but now I find out all these wonderful things you do. And I'm like, I just want to hear it all. So,
well, we can start with my story, because I think that's really what brought me to where I am today. So I struggled with alcoholism, bulimia, exercise addiction, and treatment-resistant depression for about 15 years. And I was in a very high-functioning professional career. I had the marriage and the car and, you know, the house, all the things.
Happy life, yeah.
In Los Angeles, you know, life looked really good on the outside, and on the inside, I was pretty much a wreck. And I had been living a life of secrecy and shame for a very long time. And I always had a glimmer of hope that things could be different. But I would have these episodes of binging and purging, and I would think, like, I can't, like, am I going to be this, like, 40-year-old woman, like this, or this like 50-year-old woman doing this? And I couldn't picture myself as that person. I was picturing my future self as something different. So I always had that glimmer of hope. And eventually I found psychedelics. And when I first, well, I first got sober, I did stop drinking for 30 days by a challenge from the partner that I was with, who did not drink, and saw how much money I was spending and how much of my life force I was putting into the addiction of drinking, and challenged me to stop drinking for 30 days. So I did. And when I did, the veil of depression that I was trapped under started to lift. And my brain turned back on, and I got really interested in learning again. And through this, this desire to learn and to learn about how to optimize how I was feeling, because I was starting to feel really good. So I wanted to feel really great. And the thought leadership that I started to follow more in the biohacking space and optimization space, I started hearing about psychedelics, and that just automatically clicked in my head. And I knew that I had to figure out for myself what that was about. And from there, when I started working with ayahuasca, was the first medicine that I started
working with. I was going to ask you what kind of psychedelics that you actually, it was ayahuasca. Okay.
That was the first one and has been my biggest teacher. And has really allowed me to, you know, in the beginning, it was really just the forgiveness, forgiving myself for the way that I had talked to myself and treated my body, and for really disconnecting from my true essence. So reconnecting with my true essence and starting to change behavior patterns and learning, practicing, integration, and really just developing new ways to live in the world as a conscious, I call it conscious wellness, that I live and I practice and I teach now through the way that we eat, the way that we move the body, meditate, have a relationship with nature, a relationship with ourself, a relationship with community. And it's in a very integrated, holistic way.
That's beautiful. That is beautiful. I'm interested. How was your first interaction with ayahuasca?
It was terrible. It was very disorienting, and it was very strong and put me in an altered state that I wasn't prepared for. And I was down in Peru, and I really questioned why I had gone there. And I was just feeling very overwhelmed. But I went back the second night, and I had a lot less medicine. And I was starting to understand how to navigate the space a little bit more. And then I went back the third night, and I had a little more medicine. And I had the most incredible experience of my life that night. And everything was different from there on out, and has continued to get better and better over the years.
Okay, good. I'm taking an ayahuasca trip in November, and it's my first time. And I'm a little nervous. I've researched it, but I was just curious, as I hear a lot of things about it. But
where are you going?
We're going in Costa Rica. There's a resort called I forgot what it's called, like Solitude or something like that. But oh, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, that's they know what they're doing there. You'll be in good hands.
I'll be in good hands. Okay, very good.
And I think, when approaching psychedelics, it's really important to approach them with a mindset of respect for the sacredness and the lessons that they hold, with reverence and with an attitude of surrender, knowing that everything is unfolding in divine time and exactly how it needs to. And the more that we try to fight and resist that, the harder it is. So you asked about the first night of ceremony. So much of having an eating disorder, and really any addiction that takes hold of our life, is there is an aspect of control, right? Mm-hmm. We need to control everything that we eat and how we look that was the person that was going into ceremony, and what was happening was completely out of my control, and I freaked out. I didn't know what to do. And I was, I remember one of the facilitators that was there, I asked for help. I said, I don't know what's going on. I'm having a hard time. Please help me. I feel totally out of control. And they said to me, maybe that's the lesson that the medicine has for you. Try just letting go of all the control and just, experiencing whatever your experience needs to be. And it took me 2 more days for me to get the lesson, but I did get the lesson.
Okay, good. That's awesome. Yeah. Aw, that's great. That is fantastic. Okay, good. Good to know, because I'm a little nervous, but I think, anytime you go to try something the first time, it's a little, a little nervous, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But they have really good write-ups. So I thought, what the heck? And I'm going
to know a lot of people that have gone there and speak so highly of it.
Okay.
They have the integrity of the work that they do and the support that they provide and the integrative practices that they build into the experience are tightly run ship.
Okay, good. That's really good. Yay. Now you started with your story. Now you said you had bulimia.
Yes.
Yes. Did you have anorexia or anything else? Or
when I started, at one point in my 20s, I was restricting and not purging as much because it was so restrictive. But I used food as a numbing agent. I found that, and with the drinking as well, there was a lot of stuffing that was going on. I was stuffing down my emotions, and I was just numbing out all of the feelings that I didn't want to feel.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have done that. So when exactly did you start your awakening to, you know, recovery or walking this path, the spiritual path?
It's coming up on 5 years.
5 years. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. I've only been here about like 2 years. So I'm like late in the game, but like you said, everything happens in their own time and unfolds in their own time. So I'm trying to
start at the perfect time for us. And, you know, I meet a lot of people that are in their, you know, late teens and 20s, mainly in their 20s, that are already on a spiritual path and are doing the work and doing the plant medicine and are living these beautiful holistic lives and meditating and doing yoga. And it's like, wow.
Wow, right?
Only if I started 15 years earlier, how far ahead would I be? But you know what? Our story makes us
to us.
Who we are, and it's our life experience. And it allows us through that embodied experience to be able to serve and help others in a certain way that we wouldn't have been able to otherwise. And I'm at the point in my recovery where I see that, and I see that, and I feel it in every cell in my body, that my purpose is to help other people so they don't have to struggle as long as I did.
Right. So you're also a spiritual coach, right? A holistic and spiritual coach. Now, what made you get into, like, I mean, I know your recovery and, you know, your awakening and everything, but when did you think, like, I want to coach?
I have always been very into nutrition and exercise. Now, it was through an unhealthy lens. It was through a lens of control, but I've always been very interested and passionate about health and food. And I wanted to, and what we put in our bodies through all of our senses and how we engage in the world has such a huge impact on how we feel. And if we aren't eating right and sleeping right and getting, moving the body and doing the self-care, then we can't possibly show up in our lives in the highest way. And I, you know, just through my life experience, it's what I'm passionate about. And then layering in the yoga. So I'm a Kundalini yoga teacher, and I work with all of my clients in teaching them breath work and meditation practices and the yogic philosophy and the yogic system of technology from the Kundalini yoga system, which is rather sophisticated as well, and has been a huge part of my integration with, as bad habits fall away, right? As we're shedding the things in our life that are taking up a lot of space that aren't serving us, it opens up space for new things to come in. And that's where the integration work is so important, in finding tools and activities and subject matter that we love and that we're passionate about that can fill that void, fill that vacuum.
Right.
And yeah.
Now, do you, as you're a yoga instructor, correct?
I teach yoga, yes.
Do you have like a family, like you could do family yoga, everybody, like all ages, or is it just strictly adults that usually come in?
It's usually adults that come to my classes. What I love about Kundalini yoga, the community that I have trained with and that I practice with when I can, they're not in the current city that I live in, but they're, you know, I do travel back to California sometimes. And it is a very community-based practice where mothers are encouraged to bring their toddlers.
Oh, yeah.
And you see people bring their teenager children as well. Yeah. And it's really, it is for everyone. Kundalini yoga is very different than like flow yoga or vinyasa, you know, that's very physical body oriented. Kundalini yoga is a yoga of awareness, and it's very much about balancing the chakra system and awakening the 10 bodies. And there's a lot of breath work and meditation and we work with sound a lot as well. So the frequency, the vibration of sound, and how we use that to clear our chakra system and to help to reprogram the subconscious mind using mantra.
Mm-hmm.
So even for people who bring their children and their children aren't necessarily sitting there doing, you know, breath of fire for 10 minutes.
That's great.
They're in the room and they're getting the imprint of the teachings just by being there, even if they're not doing the practice.
Right. Okay. That's fantastic. I just believe that, and I wish it would somehow just, if kids were just able to meditate and just take, you know, 10, 15 minutes out of their day and learn just mindfulness, you know, I just think the world would be a better place. It just would be such a nicer place. The kids have a lot of stress on them. They have so much they deal with, and we can see how that obviously affects the children as the years have gone by and the violence has increased. It would be nice to incorporate, but that's, you know, apparently not a thing that, you know.
And I do have friends that are yoga teachers of mine that do kids yoga and that are working with school systems. It's in a very small, it's almost like these like little trial programs, right? But it's so important to teach our children these skills at a young age because they're not taught. And
I agree.
They're very important skills.
They really are. And just to think of how less bullying and everything that would go on if they were just taught mindfulness, mm-hmm. you know, be mindful of your actions, be mindful, just little simple things, breath work, you know, as the year went on, each semester you learn something new, you could do it very slowly, but as long as it was taught and they have the tools in their belt to work with, you know, but we don't give them those tools and we just, you know, push everything and want the best grades and everything else. They feel the pressure crumble and mm-hmm. yeah, they think I got to be the best. Oh no, I got an F and I got to, you know, like whatever. It's crazy the amount of stress I see these children and I'm like, okay, in the real world, what are you going to do with this? You know, and it's sad. It's sad. I've seen so many, and I was one of the children that probably needed the help, you know, back then. Like, I would not have probably threw myself so far into anorexia and bulimia and, you know, ended up in the ER and everything else. I mean, it's crazy. So yeah, I feel very passionate about that. That's great that you do allow, you know, families and children, mm-hmm. even if they're just hearing it, you're right.
That's right. It's planting a seed that who knows where that is going to, what that is going to grow into down the road.
Right. You know, and it just really, you know, that's great. That's fantastic. That makes me so happy. I love hearing just things like that because it gives you hope. It's like, yeah, you know, knowing that kids are being touched and, you know, like It's beautiful. That was great. Thank you. So I'm going to ask you a series of 10 questions. Is that okay?
Is this rapid fire or?
Not really rapid fire. You can take your time. You can do whatever. They're very simple. What is the greatest lesson you've ever learned?
The greatest lesson I've ever learned is how to listen to my inner voice and trust myself.
Listen to your heart. Good job. Wow. Like that. Like that. That was a good answer. What are you learning now?
I have been studying a lot about cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. So very interested in the potential that that has to transform our society and our world, and to really open up opportunity for people in countries that don't have the freedoms that we do, or that don't have the financial systems and the stability of financial systems that we do. So that has been something that I've been really fascinated with and am educating myself on.
Okay, fantastic. That's beautiful. How has failure shaped your life?
Are you familiar with the Gene Keys by chance, by Richard Rudd?
No, I'm sorry. Okay.
So the Gene Keys is a system of, it's a very complex, beautiful system. And within the Gene Keys, there is a roadmap of our particular incarnation. And within my Gene Keys, failure is my highest purpose and one of my greatest challenges. So it's interesting that you asked that question, because it's a central theme of my incarnation and my path is transforming failure into a higher frequency to be of service. So if failure has showed up as a fear of mine throughout my life, and it helps me evolve.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's great. And it's called The Gene Keys?
The Gene Keys by Richard Rudd. You can go to the Gene Keys website and you can put in your birth information, and then you get a hologenic profile that has different keys that are unique to you. And it's a system that, it's not like downloading your astrology chart. Right. It really is a roadmap to work with over your entire life. So something that every time I read a chapter in the book, I feel like I'm reading it for the first time. And in a lot of ways I am, because as humans, we're constantly evolving. Yeah. And we need new information at different times. And that's what is presented. It's fascinating, and it's just stunning. It's stunning.
Wow. I am so excited. I literally am going to, as soon as we're off of this, I'm totally checking that out. That sounds fascinating. Who do you know that I should know?
Can you be a little more specific to that?
Who do you know that has a story to share or something to teach my listeners, whom I can, you know, get to know?
I think that every person that we meet in life has a story to share.
Oh, I 100%
agree. And those stories come in unexpected places.
Oh, that's true.
So
that's a good answer.
I don't have anyone specific, not knowing exactly who your audience is and what their interests are. So
anyone that's listening to me is on a healing path. My podcast is basically about a healing journey, my journey. And then I bring in, you know, people that I think either have something to share or something to teach us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how I do that.
I can think about it and get back to you.
Yeah.
You know,
it would be great. You don't have to. What have you read that I should read?
Well, The Gene Keys is one.
I was just going to say, you kind of answered that.
And I'm reading another book right now. I can't remember the author. It's called It Didn't Start With You. And it's about how we inherit trauma through our ancestral DNA.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating. And it's really helping me to go layers deep into some of the origins of my own past and my own trauma. And just understanding that, and it's through understanding and heightened awareness that we allow ourselves to process and to help release some of that so that we don't have to pass it on to future generations.
That's really funny. I've been studying that too, and I find it very interesting why, like, the feeling of scarcity is, you know, so prevalent. And I'm like, why is this so prevalent in my life? And you start looking back and it's like, it made me take a deep dive. Like, you know, some of the fears that I have and I'm like, wow, this isn't all from me. It isn't from my lifetime. This is from past lifetimes. So I'm like, wow, the ancestry, you know, really does go back and carry with you in your DNA. So I find that fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. What have you done that I should do?
Kundalini yoga. Do you practice Kundalini yoga?
I do not. No, I do hot. I've done hot yoga and, you know, yoga on the beach, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I'm interested in that.
I would check it out. Where do you live?
Florida, Palm Harbor.
I would bet that there's a Kundalini yoga studio there.
I'm sure there is. How can I add value to you?
I would say it's more about adding value to kind of the matrix of what we're all doing, we're all creating and serving. If you know anyone that is struggling with food and body issues and really is looking for help to do things a little bit unconventional, just to send them my way.
Most definitely. Wow. I have somebody that I do know. She may take a nudge or two just mm-hmm. because she's stubborn, but perhaps I can send somebody your way.
Okay.
Most definitely. Okay, what has helped you the most on your healing journey?
Plant medicine.
Okay, I like that answer. What do you think is the first step to awakening your heart?
Desire.
Desire. Ooh, I like that answer.
It took a long time for it to come to me, but
I like it. Okay. This one is a good one. If you were given the opportunity to create a billboard that the entire world would see, what would it say?
I These are these are deep questions to ask on the fly. I like to be thoughtful in these types of responses. Think bigger.
Think bigger. That's a good one. I like that. Yeah, they are deep questions, and I'm sorry. They are deep questions.
Okay.
I like to hear, usually it comes from your heart instead of up here. And if I give people the questions, only a couple people have asked. I've told them ahead of time and said, well, there will be, you know, some questions. And that's why I try not to say it anymore, because they've always wanted to preempt their, and it's coming from up here, and I want it to come from here.
Yeah.
And I get more of a heartful answer if I ask it on the fly, and I can literally see it in a person's face, like, wow, this is going to be great, you know. Mm-hmm. And I saw you as you asked some of those, answered some of those questions. You just closed your eyes, you know, really felt it, and then answered. And I was like, that was beautiful. So, you know, that's the reason why I do what I do. Because if I ask it ahead of time, then it comes up with a scripted answer.
Yeah.
And I don't want a scripted answer. I want from the heart. I lead from my heart. That's my heart tells me, you know, usually when I bring on a guest, there's something that made me come to you, to ask you to come on to my podcast. And my heart was, you know, veering me this way. And I'm like, okay, half of the time I brought somebody on, I had no idea what I was even going to ask. I was just, but the interview went so swimmingly. I was like, wow, okay. So I just kind of flow with it and be like, okay, I may not know exactly why I brought you on here, but there is a connection and there is something that's leading me here. So I just trust it.
I love that.
Yeah. And just go with it. That's just how I do. And I'm like, there are times where I'm like, I don't know, I'm going to be empty on this one, but I'll come up with it. I'm sure it'll just, you know, and it always just seems to go. And I'm like, okay. So I haven't been failed yet. So that's all great. Anyway, this has been super beautiful. I'm really glad I got to know you.
Same. It's been lovely to connect.
Yeah, I really am. And you brought up something that I really don't talk about. Mm. And I haven't talked about for a very long time.
Wow.
And I've been meaning to do a podcast. The weird part is I had initially, you know, said, oh, I'll talk about eating disorder or whatever. I never knew how to approach eating disorder. Mine was so distorted and I blocked a lot of it out. Mm-hmm. You have to realize when you are that sick, you forget a lot too. And I was at a point where my sister, I mean, thank God my sister came home, but I apparently was in the bathroom with just like throwing up blood and I passed out on the floor, like just done. I had no idea. Next thing I know, I was in the ER. So I had no idea.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot I don't remember about. I did it more to, I don't know if I was punishing myself or what, I'm not too sure. And I don't know that I really got to those deep roots yet. Like I said, I'm kind of new into this healing journey. And I don't think I tackled all that. I just, wow.
We'll see what Grandmother Ayahuasca has in store for you.
Yeah, I'm really,
really, wow. I'm happy that you've been called to work with that medicine. And I really wish you a beautiful experience.
Oh, thank you. And you made me feel much more comfortable about that too. So I think that this was intended almost. I have goosebumps.
Absolutely was. Yeah.
I was like, I think this was intended. Like, I think we were supposed to do this. That's great. Mm-hmm. I feel very, very blessed right now.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I really do. I feel so blessed. But would you like to tell all my listeners where they can get a hold of you, follow you? Do you have a website? Give all your info out so they can get a hold of you.
Will you link this in the show notes as well?
100%.
Yeah. So my website is my first and last name, PritamTara.com. Okay. PritamTara. And you can find me on Instagram. That's the main platform that I'm active on currently. And all my contact information is very readily available. So please, if you're being called to reach out, and would love to connect with anyone out there who is looking to work with someone or get some help or learn about Kundalini yoga or plant medicine, whatever the case may be.
Wow. Yeah, you have taught me a lot, and I'm leaving this, and this is unusual for me because usually I do a lot of talking and I feel as though like you really had the floor. And I learned a lot. B, I feel blessed that I got to meet you and I got to talk to you about things that were really happening and maybe something that I probably should have. Maybe you awoke, you know, the eating disorder that I have buried and can't believe that I haven't dealt with it yet. But I mean, I've tackled that. Obviously it's not an issue in my life, but I still deny. I just act like, okay, that was part of my life, but I don't want to go back and visit it, which I know I need to put it to bed. And I do realize that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you're right. Ayahuasca may be a tool for that.
Yeah. And I do offer integration coaching as well. Okay. So just on a personal note, if you would like to do a little work before you head down to Peru or when you come back in processing and integrating your experience, would be happy to talk with you one-on-one.
Okay. Wow.
So I'll just put that out there.
Yeah, most definitely. That's fantastic. Would you do me a favor and send me all your links so I can go ahead and link it in the show notes? I'm just super, like, literally tomorrow morning, I'm going to be flying out of here. So I'm like, I was so super happy that we were able to schedule this. And I'm like, oh, yay.
So it's just my website, and everything's linked in my Instagram as well. If you just want to pull it from my Instagram.
Oh, I can pull it from your Instagram then. If it's already there, I can do that. That's not a problem.
All right. Well, have a lovely trip.
Thank you very much. And you have a beautiful weekend and night and all of that. I've learned so much and I feel so blessed to have met you. So thank you so much.
Take care.
Yes. Bye. Aww.